The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Jess Kelly's Tech Takeover on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Jess Kelly, our technology correspondent, is with me here in Austin, Texas. And Jess, you have been taking a look at this city from a tech point of view for us.
Yeah, as we delved into a little bit yesterday on the show, there's an awful lot of similarities between Austin and then Irish cities like Dublin, Cork and Galway, in that they're breeding grounds for tech companies. So if you look at the stats, and I know you were talking about housing earlier on in the show, but since 2009 up until when the pandemic hit in 2020, the population of this city increased by around 4% every single year. I was looking at stats this morning that said more than 45,000 people moved to Austin last year, which is a 2% increase. And tech is a big reason for that. Not only are there the big players like, you know, Tesla, Samsung and Indeed in town, but there's also an incredible ecosystem for startups that are looking to enter the US market or expand their footprint in this country. And there's a place not far from where we're broadcasting from right now called QBranch. And this is an accelerator and a facilitator for businesses like that. So if you're in Ireland, think of places like Dogpatch Labs in Dublin, okay, or maybe Portershed in Galway. Those kind of vibes is exactly what QBranch is. And I met with the man who runs it. His name is Marco Cervantes, who is the real life Q just in James Bond. It's incredible. And he is, as I said earlier in the show, he's a first generation American, second generation veteran and a third generation entrepreneur. And he explained how he became to be known as the American Q.
Well, first, we don't have any affiliation with that brand. I'm just an emphatic fan. But really, that experience came from one of the missions that I did for during my past life, where I took some items from a different country and I put them into a truck that you never knew was there. I mean, very James Bond-like in that scenario. And that's when I said, oh my gosh, I just became Q from the movie. I was like, and I real world. And there it was. And we pushed the button and it launched. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I found that that was very impactful for me because it took a lot of rigor just to get to that point. And I was really serving kind of the 00 section, right? And so now here I'm in Austin, and these international entrepreneurs that are coming into Texas, they're on a mission. They have the same qualities as a veteran or somebody that has served because they've volunteered. There's a lot of unknowns in the environment, but yet they had the intestinal fortitude that says, I'm going to do it. So that type of quality of a person coming in, I want to be very supportive of that. And so that's kind of what QBranch does, is we treat them as that secret spy landing in the U.S. And I'm going to give them all the support, all the equipment, so that they can be successful. And look, he doesn't show up to the garage and grab the keys and go just automatically. They kind of needed to know a little bit beforehand what that mission was. And so that's really the strategy planning. That's really get me on the phone with you immediately so that we can start developing in the lab what you're going to need for when you land here in the United States.
All right, Marcos has been a bit coy there. What did he put in the car and what came shooting out of it?
I can't confirm or deny, but if you've seen a James Bond movie, think of what comes out of a James Bond car that shouldn't be in a James Bond car and takes people by surprise.
Okay. So he shot something.
I can...
Jess has the detail. And I can't find out exactly what he shot out of that car. It has to be like, oh, what came out of the old Aston Martin? Oil came out of it at times. He shot bullets out of it. James Bond himself came shooting out of it in a chair. I don't think he did that. So anyway, I'm going to get the detail of Jess. I'll tell you all later. Don't worry. So in terms of what they do, though, Jess,
yes,
and kind of, you know, working as this kind of incubator for startups, tell me about some of the innovations that have passed through the doors.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand some of the work that Mark did as part of the US military, aside from hiding pew-pews in cars. He was centrally involved in decision-making when it came to where to spend money on new technology, as well as assessing the risks of what should be utilised and what shouldn't be utilised. And when he's working with startups, they're not just on the lookout for the next big thing. They're looking at technological and innovative solutions that can be fed into government bodies, be that the Department of Defence, the Department of Health, the Department of Education, and so on. And he sort of walked me through some of the ideas that have been developed inside QBranch recently.
So we focus on establishing relationships with the Ministry of Trade and Economy. Why? Because they're a little bit more resourced, right? And then once you establish the relationships with the country, then the corporates start to come in. And the corporates really have levels some innovation, but they have more needs, right? The competitive environment is higher stakes, and so they need to look at finding and keeping up with, again, the rate of technology. What I've seen is really the needs of the country. And what I'm most proud of is the relationship that we have with the Ministry of Trade and Economy of Japan. So we did this 8-week accelerator for them. In that, we had a silkworm protein bar, which was fascinating. We had an early detection mechanism to prevent falls of the elderly. It wasn't reactionary, it was more preventative in the methodologies that they were using. There's a great Bluetooth technology that is highly secured. It kind of negates any two-factor authentication. There was a nanotechnology insulation. I could go on and on and on. And each one of these technologies have grown out of a country of Japan, and they are in such need here in the United States. And so that's, again, the technologies are so... Oh, there was a Bionic M, which is a prosthetic for your lower extremities. And it isn't just a prosthetic that just attaches to your leg. No, it's a mechanical one that helps the muscular movements, right? It helps, on the other leg, it matches and mirrors the same kind of muscular movements. And so it looks very natural. So I just went through a spectrum, right? Silkworms to muscles, right? In that way. And, we have Spaniards that we've worked very closely with. We're now starting to expand the Korean community that is following the Samsung plant that just arrived here in Taylor, Texas. So we're starting to see a variety, but even more. I mean, there's more endless technologies that are coming in.
So that was silkworm protein bars all the way up to muscle manufacturing. It's interesting, Jess, Mark, you mentioned the Samsung plant as well, because we talked about that yesterday. This is, I think, their third big chip plant that they're building at the moment. Yeah. Massive, massive plant.
It's a huge ordeal for Samsung to do this in a positive way, because we know that there was massive disruption to technology production during the pandemic because they had to bring the chips in from the likes of China. And when that sort of collaboration fell down, production stopped. It impacted businesses' bottom lines. There were waiting lists for devices. It was a total pain in the face. So President Joe Biden has really been campaigning for the manufacture of chips to take place here in the United States. And Austin and Texas as a whole is actually the perfect place for it because, as we heard earlier in the show in relation to housing, there's a huge amount of space here. There is scope for development and it does fit in with the skilled labourers that they have in this part of the world. So it's kind of a logical step. But, and to go back to the conversation we had at the top of the show about the lads from the bar who came in here on doing the J1, it's all about that opportunity to scale and to bring your business from one part of the United States to the other. What I find really interesting as someone from Ireland is that just because something works in one state in the United States does not mean that it will work in another state. There's different rules, different regulations. It can be a bit of a pain in the face. But because Austin has built up that reputation now as a tech city, they know how to play the game a little bit, and it's definitely to their advantage.
Well, if you want to hear more from Mark, the real life Q, the American equivalent, you can listen to the full interview with Jess on this week's Tech Talk. Now, before you go, Jess, we're going to have our tech rec for the week. What is it?
It's eSIMs. I am all about them. Go. What's the
issue? It didn't work, so they don't work. End of conversation.
It didn't work for you. Okay, I'm going to explain how they work. But the reason it didn't work for Kieran is because he gave up 3 seconds into trying to set it up.
I tried to do it through this GoFundMe, GoLoud,
GoMo World.
And then I tried to do it through Apple, and then I tried to do it through Revolut, and I even paid Revolut money, and I know News Talk Management are listening. I would absolutely be expensing that because it didn't even work.
because you're too.
And it didn't work.
The reason it didn't work is because you were too impatient.
So this is a way we should say maybe right before this just gets taken over by my whinging.
Yes,
this is a way to avoid roaming charges.
Yeah, this is it's one of the biggest pressure points that have come in. So you know now in Europe for the last few years we have this thing called roam like at home. So if you have data calls and texts built into your bill plan, you can use that within Europe as and when you please.
That's been great.
It's been such a game changer. But if you venture to the United States, to Australia, to New Zealand, to Canada, anywhere outside of the EU, you do get very hefty roaming charges. I know for sure that there's been times where I've tried to download an attachment for an email and then you get a text saying you've built up 40 quid in roaming charges, and the panic when that happens is horrific. So technology, as always, has come to the rescue and they've developed what's called eSIMs. So they're electronic SIM cards, meaning you don't have to have a physical SIM. We were chatting on the way here from the airport the other day. Like back when I started to travel to the US, there used to be vending machines where you would go and buy a physical SIM card, but it meant you couldn't use your normal number. You'd have to use the US number. That's all gone now. So the one that I'm testing this week, and I paid for it on Sunday, is from GOMO World. So people will know GOMO. They are the digital mobile network from Air. And they've now expanded their service to include this roaming offering. So for 7 gigs of data for 15 days, it cost me €11.
Well, that's very good, isn't it?
It's incredible. And that is, it took me 2 minutes to set up on the phone, and I'll talk through how to do that in a second. But I now have essentially two SIMs active on my device. So I was just talking to
Do you use a different number?
No.
You can still use the same number?
You can still use the same number. So I was just talking to my mum and dad there a second ago. So you use my Irish number for that. That's no problem. But when it comes to the data, so everything that I've been posting on Instagram, Twitter, my emails, all the rest, that's working off the second SIM card. Now, it's really important to note that this only works on certain phones. So think back, if you have, say, an iPhone 10 or a device that was bought in around 2020 thereabouts, you should have eSIM capability. But a quick Google search will tell you if it works on your phone or not. What you do in the instance of GOMO World is you download the app, you select the country, you select your plan. There are cheaper plans than the one I opted for. You follow the steps and then you go into the settings. And this is the important bit. You need to select for the calls and text function of your traditional SIM card or your normal SIM card to do the job there. You need to turn off your data on your normal SIM card. Mm-hmm. And then you select the GOMO option or your eSIM option and you turn that on for data. So just make sure that you're not going to get that sneaky heart attack bill and just utilize it. It works so well. I haven't had a single issue in the time that we've been here. There are other providers, Revolut, as you mentioned, although it didn't work for you. If you go into your Revolut app now and you scan through the lifestyle options, you'll see the selection, the option to select an eSIM. They are a little bit more expensive than GOMO, but do shop around. It is such a game changer and it just gives you that peace of mind that you can use your phone without, as I said, the scary bill.
Yeah, and listen, it's not just for people who are business traveling. I'm just conscious that we all rely on data so much. How many of us have given up on the old-fashioned text message and it's all done by WhatsApp, for instance, or you're out and about and you need maps or you want to find directions to somewhere or what's the name of that place that somebody mentioned and you Google it. We all don't think about it. Don't give it a second thought at home. But if it's going to cost you money, you've got to think about it here. Anyway, Jess Kelly, our technology correspondent. Jess, thank you very, very much.
Hi, Jess Kelly here. If you want more tech news, reviews and insights, make sure you subscribe to the Tech Talk podcast or tune in every Saturday at 5 p.m.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.